The Lord be with you. A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them, that confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So if you've been reading the news or watching the news, you know that we're in our seventh month of conflict in the Holy Land. And probably in the middle of the third year in Ukraine. And we have elections right around the corner and a myriad of other terrible news coming out on an almost daily basis. And so we get this kind of desolation, this sadness, this worldly depression that starts to set in, which can quickly and easily turn into outright cynicism about life and about everything. But here in today's readings, we have Christ, who 40 days ago was put to death on the cross and has died. And as he died, darkness covered the land, much like we have darkness creeping into our world today. But then something amazing, miraculous happens. This man whom the world had put to death and had thought would stay that way rose from the dead and continued his ministry. And light came back into the world. And what's more, today we celebrate something just as significant. This same God made man ascends into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the ones who had abandoned him at his hour of death, the same ones who denied him three times, the same ones who didn't understand what was happening, are filled with joy at seeing their Messiah, their Lord and their God, rise bodily into heaven. With the ascension, the Father's plan for Christ is complete. And Christ's only job going forward now is to intercede for us. And this is really a cause for joy, because this same Christ, who is like us in all things but sin, has opened up heaven for us and is leading the way. This is our source of Christian hope, hope in our eternal reward, hope in our own resurrection, hope in Jesus Christ. In heaven, there will be no tears of sadness, only tears of joy and goodness, as we meet our Maker face to face, as we meet Christ himself in the flesh, as we meet those who have gone before us to their heavenly reward. St. Leo the Great, in a sermon on today's feast, said, "Today we are not only made possessors of paradise, but with Christ we have ascended, mystically but also really, to the highest heavens and have won through Christ a grace more wonderful than the one we had lost." And so while the ascension is a very real event in the history of humanity and the history of salvation, oftentimes it's kind of a theological thing that we don't quite have concrete reality for in our own lives. So I want to kind of illustrate its real meaning for us. And so there's a story that's been passed down about Jesus throughout the ages. It tells about how after his ascension into heaven, he was surrounded by the holy angels who began to inquire about his work on earth. Jesus told them about his birth, his life, his preaching, his ministry, his death and resurrection, and how he had accomplished the salvation of the world. The archangel Gabriel asked, "Well, you know, now that you're back in heaven, who's going to continue your work on earth?" Jesus said, "While I was on earth, I gathered a group of people around me who believed in me and who truly loved me. They will continue to spread the gospel and carry on the work of the church." Gabriel was a little perplexed. "You mean Peter, who denied you three times, and all the rest who ran away when you were crucified? You mean to tell us that you left them to carry on your work?" Gabriel goes on and asks, "What will you do if this plan of yours doesn't work?" And Jesus responds simply, "I have no other plan. It must work." Truly, we are Christ's plan for the world. It's us. He works through us. The only plan he has is very literally his church. You and I are the ones called to be Christ in this world here and now. We are the community that eats and drinks with sinners and calls them to repentance. We are the community that sacrifices for our neighbors out of love, that feeds the hungry and clothes the naked. This is difficult work, but it is good and honest work. Each of us must work to end the violence, to do corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and pray unceasingly for ourselves and those around us. My brothers and sisters, Christ, with his ascension, opened the way to heaven, points the way to heaven, leads us there. But his work here on earth is not complete. And if this plan of his doesn't work, he's got nothing else. So it has to work. It must work. We must work.